Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the last sloka, 27. Very famous verse, Prabhupada quoted many times. Brahmanohi patistaham. Brahmanohi patistaham. Amritasya vyavasya cha. Yaya yasya. There's a lot of yayas there. Amritasya vyavasya cha. Amritasya vyavasya cha. Shasvatasya chatdharmasya. Shasvatasya chatdharmasya. Sakashyai kam tikasya cha. Sakashyai kam tikasya cha. Brahmanohi patistaham. Amritasya vyavyasya cha. Shasvatasya cha dharmasya. Sakashyai kam tikasya cha. Brahmanohi patistaham. Amritasya vyavyasya cha. Shasvatasya cha dharmasya. Sakashyai kam tikasya cha. Brahmanohi patistaham. Amritasya vyayasya cha. Sakantaisha katasya. Is there anybody to translate for him? Do we have a translator? Brahmana, of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he certainly, Patista, the rest, Aham, I am, Amritasya, of the immortal, of Yayasya, of the imperishable, cha, also. Shasvatasya, of the eternal. Cha, and. Dharmasya, of the constitutional position. Sukasya, of happiness. Aikantikasya, ultimate. Cha, also. Translation. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is the immortal, imperishable, and eternal, in the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. With a long purport. The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of the transcendental realization. Paramatma, the Supersoul, is the middle, the second stage in transcendental realization, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both the Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. It is explained in the seventh chapter that material nature is a manifestation of the inferior energy of the Lord. The Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with the fragments of the superior nature, and that is the spiritual touch in the material nature. When a living entity is conditioned by this material nature, it begins to cultivate spiritual knowledge. He elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. This attainment of Brahman conception of life is the first stage of self-realization. At this stage, the Brahman-realized person is transcendental to the material position, but he is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position and gradually rise to the Paramatma realization and then to the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of this in the Vedic literature. The four Kumaras were situated in the impersonal Brahman conception of the truth, but then they gradually rose to the platform of devotional service. One who cannot elevate himself beyond the impersonal conception of Brahman runs the risk of falling down. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that although a person may rise to the stage of impersonal Brahman, without going further, there is no information of the Supreme Person. His intelligence is not perfectly clear. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is a chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic language, it is also stated, rasavai sa rasam hya evayam labhav Nari Bhavati. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he is actually becomes transcendentally blissful. The Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, and when a devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these six opulences. The servant of the king enjoys on an almost equal level with the king. And so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness, and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman or eternity or imperishability is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. The living entity, although Brahman by nature, has the desire to lord it over the material world, and due to this he falls down. In his constitutional position, a living entity is above the three modes of material nature, but by association with the material nature, entangles him in the different modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Due to this association with the three modes, his desire to dominate the material world is there. By engagement in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position, and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. Therefore, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, and the prescribed nine methods for realizing devotional service, should be practiced in the association of devotees. Gradually, by such association, the influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed, and one becomes firmly situated in the Lord's transcendental loving service. This method is prescribed from the 22nd to the last verse of this chapter. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes. Read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees. Chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One can thus situate himself in the Brahma Jyoti, or the different varieties of the Brahman conception, equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the three modes of material nature. Brahmanohi patishtaham amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya chadharmasya sakashyai kantakasya cha. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that from the 22nd verse of this chapter, if one follows that, one can rise to the Brahman position. I need some water. So let's read that again. Text 22 to 25. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of material nature. And then 26, one who engages in full devotional service unfailing in all circumstances at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So in 22 to 25, the Lord is explaining the qualities of a person who is transcendentally situated, that he is beyond duality. And this is either the third or the fourth time in the Bhagavad Gita up to this point where the Lord has explained this. He begins by saying, explaining about it in chapter 2. There Arjuna asks, what is the nature of a man who is situated in transcendence? So Krishna explains that the first time. Then again in chapter 6, he explains that one who has brought the mind under control has reached a super soul and has also become free from duality. And I think there's another place, but I don't remember. But here again in chapter 14, text 22 to 25, the Lord is explaining again the nature of a person in transcendence who is beyond duality. And so then he says that this person who is transcendentally situated, he is at the level of Brahman. And then finally, Krishna says, I am the basis of that impersonal Brahman. So this means, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, the one who has achieved this Brahman position has begun, unless he has contacted, or the threshold of understanding God, or his relationship with God. So Krishna says, I am this Brahman, this transcendental situation. So we have to understand this clearly because there's a lot of confusion about this Brahman. What is this Brahman? We hear of the Brahman as the Brahma Jyoti, the white light. And so there's a conception among some devotees, at least, that one who has come to this level of Brahman, that he sees the white light. This is the, let's see, the transcendental position that the impersonalists or the Mayavadis are aspiring to. They want to merge into that white light. This is also called Brahman. But here, the conception of Brahman is being used in a different way. Actually, it's not, I guess you could say, simultaneously one and different. The Brahman position is the transcendental position. Transcendental means free from the gunas, free from the control of the material energy. And as the body. Okay? So to transcend material nature means to come to the Brahman platform. And this is what we're talking about here. In fact, practically every place that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, this is what it's referring to. And this is the beginning of contacting Krishna. When one comes to that Brahman platform, then one is free from the spell of material nature. One can then see everything as it is because he sees it in relationship to the Supreme Lord. He doesn't see it in relationship to his own sense gratification, which is how the conditioned soul sees the world. When the conditioned soul sees something, he's always in the mind enjoying it or rejecting it, accepting or rejecting on the basis of sense gratification. But the transcendentalist, he is not under the control of material energy, and so he sees things in a different way. He sees everything in relationship to Krishna. There is nothing to enjoy, nothing to hanker, nothing to lament. Everything is in connection with Krishna. So this is the transcendental position, which is referred to here. In this situation, this is Prabhupada explained several times in the purport, that this is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. So the devotee who achieves that state, there's nothing to be unhappy about. He's free from material suffering, free from that duality of suffering, happiness, and distress. As Prabhupada writes, at this stage, the Brahman realized person is transcendental to the material position, but he is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. So Brahman, as Prabhupada says it there, means spiritual realization. Okay? Not perfect in the Brahman realization because he can rise to the Paramatma level or to the Bhagavan level. So this is Brahman. This transcendental position is the threshold of transcendence. It's the beginning, very, very beginning step. Uh, Yeah, now here, Prabhupada says, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that although a person may rise to the stage of impersonal Brahman without going further, his intelligence is not perfectly clear and he may fall down. Well, it's true, one can fall down from that position. But if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So the examples of those are like Sukadev Goswami, the four Kumaras, and others who were situated in Brahman realization, but they were not, they hadn't realized anything higher, so they had to go back down. Then Prabhupada maybe confuses it more. The living entity, although Brahman by nature, has a desire to lord it over the material world. So again, using the word Brahman in a different way. The living entity is Brahman by nature. Brahman in this sense means spiritual by nature. In the Isopanishad is explained that the living beings, that they start out in the Brahman. This is what the Brahman is, or the Brahma-jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also the living beings. In chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is Brahman? And Krishna's answer is the living entities are Brahman. So we hear, okay, Krishna's effulgence is Brahman, the living entities are Brahman. Yeah, they're the same thing. This effulgence of Krishna is the living entities. They're born first into the Brahman, then come to the Tatastha region, and from there can choose to go to the material side or the spiritual side. And all of us, we've chosen to come to the material side. After coming to the material side, then the living being goes to the spiritual evolution through many, many lifetimes, and then has the opportunity to again become reestablished in the spiritual position. So when Prabhupada says here that the living entity is Brahman by nature, that means just that he's spiritual by nature. Is that clear? Yeah? Yeah.
So how you say you're from Brahman, but aren't we from Krishna directly? Aren't we from Krishna directly?
Yes, we're from Krishna.
So that's just effulgence from Krishna, Brahman, then from Brahman.
So all this effulgence of Krishna is the living entities.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because they're brilliant like the sun, so this is the effulgence of Krishna.
Does that mean that Brahman is also energy of the Lord?
If the living, yeah, in the sense. Yeah.
But Brahman, is it energy as well, or is it aspect of Krishna?
It's the energy. Brahman is the living entities who are situated, they know the sat feature of, right, of the Lord. This is just the sat feature. That's the extent of their, nature. The ananda feature isn't there because there's no diversity, right? They're still just spirit sparks, 1/10,000th of the size of the tip of a hair. So the chit potency and the ananda potency are not there yet. They develop in time. Does that answer your question?
Starting from.
Okay.
So that's why the most
philosophers are bewildered by the impersonal aspect. Because there's no variety.
Because what?
There's no variety.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand what you mean they're bewildered by it.
And mostly they get caught up just in sense.
The material conception of spiritual is that spiritual must be anti-material. So anything we have in the material experience should be absent. So there's form, so spiritual should be no form. There's personality, spiritual should have no personality. And so they desire to negate the inferior material position, and they think that this is spiritual. Well, that takes them back to Brahman position, where we all started from before. And even if one achieves that, if the Mayavadi, the yogis, they achieve that position, they can't stay there because, again, sooner or later they will desire activity, and then they have to come back. This is how we got here the first time. The first time we went through the Brahman experience, we came to the point of desiring some variety and activity. So then we go to the Tattvastha region, and from there, then we choose one side or the other. There's verses in the Shastra that says that the living beings, in one sense, are born from the Tattvastha region. Well, let's say you could say born in terms of the source where they're coming from. When they come from the spiritual world, they come through the Tattvastha region.
Yeah. Yeah. If they are just sat, and you said that they develop their chitandananda later, right? So how is it with that?
It would develop there somehow.
Same material, same.
Yeah, same here. It seems, as far as I can understand, that it's developing because there's a desire for activity. There's a sense of awareness, right? At first, there's no sense of awareness. It's just sat, I am, right? But then there's some awareness of self and desire for activity. So the desire for activity must mean that there's some sense of self that develops. So it sounds to me that it's process of unfolding or developing. Material energy is attractive. Huh? Everybody here is enamored with it. Right? So, it's attractive to the jiva because we have no experience, you know. Prabhupada describes it as the glittering material energy. Ooh, look at that. Exactly how we perceive that material energy is not clear. I don't know what we see that is enticing to us, but somehow or other, we get that choice. I haven't yet seen any slokas that, any pramana that explains that part.
When Absolute Truth is explained in three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Does Brahman here refers to energies of the Lord, or is something else here? Because Paramatma feature is not energy, right? It's person.
It's the Lord. Paramatma.
So, Paramatma and the Bhagavan are the Lord himself, and Brahman is another aspect, or is energy? How do you understand this? The energy of this communication of the shark is internal, external, flashback, like that. Because there is a shakti man and shakti, right? Where Brahman belongs in this communication?
Hmm. If it belongs to this communication.
I'm not sure how to answer that, the question the way you present it. So Krishna is saying there from the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, that Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, these three are the different aspects of the Absolute Truth. So, different aspects, yes, of the Absolute Truth. Right? That's the way it's stated, if I remember correctly. So, the jiva is also part of the Absolute Truth. Huh? So, the jivas are the Brahman, and that's one part of the Absolute Truth. But that's the jiva in the pure spiritual state. That's the Brahman there is the pure spiritual state.
So by this definition of Brahman, constituted from the jivas, you're referring to this?
No.
So that then refers to the energy, right? So
the, yeah.
Then this would mean equal to Tatasha Shakti?
Yeah.
So Brahman is Tatasha Shakti?
I guess you can say like that. Things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. Tattvastha Shakti is a way of describing the jiva. It's not necessarily a particular, it's just like saying, if I talk about you, I can say, oh, he's a man. But that doesn't, that's a way of describing you. Or I could use your name. It's a way of describing you, but it's not you. So this Tattvastha Shakti, to say that the jiva is the Tattvastha Shakti, it's one way of describing him, but the more accurate way of describing him is Brahman. The Tattvastha is a position that he comes to after some time. He can go, Tattvastha means you can go this side or that. You know, Tattvastha is the region. For example, on the shore, the sea is coming up. So sometimes this land is wet and sometimes it's dry. So this is the Tattvastha region. So the jivas also explain, there's explained that there's a Tattvastha region between the material and spiritual worlds. The jivas that come to this world come through that Tattvastha region. So it's a way of describing the jivas here. Huh? But it's not the best, the more basic or proper way of describing the jiva. The jiva would be Brahman. What do you think? And Krishna says, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. So this means transcendence. To come to this transcendental position is to know Krishna.
Why would we then impersonal Brahman if these are jivas?
Because they have in that state, there's no distinction. It's only the sat feature.
But they're still individuals. Why?
They're individual, but it's just, but they have no features. There's no features there. Huh? It's just existence.
They don't have features.
There's no features. Light. What features does light have? Light. Huh? Yeah, there needs to be some form, some variety. There's no variety there. It's all oneness. Brahman is this oneness. This is why the impersonalists, they want to go there, because they think that all this variety is the source of their suffering. So get rid of it. It will become free from it. Oh, yes. And so in that state, there's experience of some bliss compared to the material experience, but it's not lasting. After a while, the jiva desires to have activity and comes back. Because we don't have spiritual body yet, because we're 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. We're spiritual sparks.
That is the spark that stays in the mind. It's like this, you know, the spiritual body.
That's what?
That is the spark that is in the stays in the mind.
Yeah.
Not spiritual body.
Yeah. So we come to this world in that state, and we have yet to develop the spiritual body. So that's what the aspect of Raganuga Bhakti is about, to develop the spiritual form that we have in particular desire to serve the Lord in a particular way.
Yeah. So the impersonalists, they just want to go back where they were born from, like back home, but what does Prabhupada say back to Godhead?
Well, because they have incomplete information of transcendence. There's an understanding about Brahman. And so, you know, there's teaching, there's people who teach about that. Yes, we can achieve this Brahman. Because they have no further understanding of either the super soul or or Bhagavan. So, rather than looking beyond that, they just say, oh, let's go to Brahman. Yeah.
Jiva in Brahman is eternal, but how does it develop knowledge and bliss?
Chit Ananda? How does that develop? I'm not exactly sure. We develop the spiritual body by meditating on the pastimes of Krishna with a desire to serve Him in a particular way. And seeing ourselves in relationship to the Lord in that way creates a spiritual body. So you may remember in classes earlier I've spoken about karma and how karma works. By the action of the mind, by desire, the result is created. So the jiva is very powerful. By his desire can bring about the result. So, and I gave examples of parking spaces, you know, things like that. We can get results simply by desire in this world. So the same process, when it is applied to Krishna in his, in a relationship with him, we also create a spiritual body in the same way. By that desire to want to serve Krishna in a particular way, this is what creates that spiritual body.
But isn't that body already dormant?
No.
How come there is Krishna Prema is there?
Krishna Prema is the inherent nature of the jiva. No. There is no body.
So what we are?
1/10,000th the tip of a hair.
In the material world, but in the spiritual world?
We're not in the spiritual world, we're here.
Spiritually inert.
Covered over.
Covered over. So what is covered? The spark?
The spark. There's no body. Where did the body come from? They're inherent in the nature of the jiva.
In the spark.
There's the potency to see, the potency to hear, the potency to taste, to smell, to speak, because this is what spirit means. Spirit means we have the qualities of personality, qualities of God.
We are persons, no?
Huh?
We are persons.
We are persons.
So, if there is person, there is personality,
it's person, no? Person means personality, yes. And this spirit spark has those qualities. The spiritual energy has those qualities of personality. No, it's not a body. It's a spark.
Spark is senses.
The spark has senses. No, the spark has sense perception. Okay? Perception. The spark has perception. Just like we taste something. We perceive a taste. But what are we using? We're using the tongue of the material body. And it's interpreted by the mind, right? Which says it's good or bad. But we're actually perceiving that experience.
But when you speak about the process, right?
Hearing. Okay.
This is spiritual activity, right? Which is perceived by the soul. How? If it doesn't have senses.
He does have senses. He has sense perception. The spiritual spark can hear, right? So we're all here, we're all spiritual sparks. You don't require senses. This is a machine to bring the sense perception to us, the jiva, in the heart. At the spiritual level, what do you mean by the spiritual level? So we inherently have the qualities of Bhagavan because we're part of Bhagavan. That's present in the spirit spark. In the material world, we have a form that allows us to perceive different senses. In the spiritual world, we will also be able to perceive those things. But it's a direct experience of the soul. It's not that you have a spiritual body that you have to hear through the ear. No, you're hearing directly. You're seeing directly.
But Lord also has senses, right? Eyes, ears, and that. But the activity of the senses are interchangeable, right? He can see.
Yeah.
So we also have this word or not?
Yes.
Can also eat with our ears?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So we have
money. In the spiritual world. When we get there. Not right now. Right now we don't have.
So it has to be created.
It has to be created. This is the purpose of Raganuga Sadhana.
From what?
By meditation. By meditation on the... Okay. Let's go back to remember as teaching about karma. That we bring the result by desire.
But this desire is sanctioned.
The action
by the Lord.
The Brahman fulfills the desire. Prakriti kriyamana ni gunai kamani sarvasha. So the bewildered spirit soul thinks that he's a doer of activity. It's being carried out by material nature, by the modes of material nature. We desire, the result comes. Okay?
If it's sanctioned by the Lord.
Right. But the point is, it's happening by desire. So the same way we create the spiritual body, the spiritual result, by desire also. It's the same thing that keeps us bound in this material world, but it's applied to the transcendental objective, and so it becomes the source of our freedom rather than the source of our bondage. Okay?
So desires are like painting. When you paint the painting with colors,
yeah.
And at the end Krishna gives you the whole picture. And then that's your body.
You're painting a painting.
Just an
I know.
Good, but
say it again.
It's like you've got desires, and with that desires you create your spiritual body. But we got every day new desires.
But we have what?
Every day we got new desires.
Yeah, this is why it's here, this verse, this whole chapter is explaining how to overcome the most material nature. In these earlier verses, 22 to 25, Krishna is explaining the person who's achieved transcendence, he's free from material desire. He doesn't have material desire anymore. Okay? This is what it means to be transcendental. I have no material desires. I'm not forced to act by the modes of material nature. I have no material desires. There's nothing I need from this world to be satisfied. I'm satisfied by myself. And this is the beginning, the threshold of spiritual life. Then from there, one can begin Raghunuga Bhakti. One begins to develop further their relationship with the Lord. And Prabhupada says that here in the purport. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position, but then he can also gradually rise to Paramatma realization and the realization of Bhagavan. So this is the beginning. Transcendental stage is the beginning to develop that spiritual relationship. And again, this is the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. This is what it's about. So at that point, when we achieve... Let me go back and I'll read to you. Where is it? Oh, yeah. The beginning, Prabhupada explains about the beginning of spiritual life. As will be seen in Bhagavad Gita, actual devotional service begins after liberation. That's what we're talking about now. Brahman position is liberation. Actual devotional service begins after liberation. After one is liberated, when one is situated in the Brahman position, Brahma Bhuta, one's devotional service begins. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So this means pure devotional service. Prior to that, we're doing devotional service, which is contaminated by material desire, or what's called mixed devotional service. No one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sangha Yoga, or any other yoga independently. By these methods, one may make a little progress towards bhakti, but without coming to the stage of devotional service, one cannot understand what is personality of Godhead. So the point here is that, again, I'm pointing out, when we achieve this Brahman position, then we begin to develop this relationship with Krishna through the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. Okay?
So the more transcendental wishes you get, the more you stack it, the better it is.
Well, the more transcendental wishes you have, it develops in a natural way. One begins Raghunuga Bhakti by hearing the intimate pastimes of the Lord. And by that hearing, the desire develops. So like that. So, and it's a natural process. One will find themselves attracted to a particular relationship to the Lord as a result of what they're hearing. Okay? By contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment to them. So it's the same thing, whether it's spiritual or material. By contemplating Krishna, we develop attachment to him.
Okay. Is the desire some quality of intelligence? Right?
The desire is what?
Some quality of intelligence.
Desire is a function of the soul.
Okay, so when I choose the material world at some point. I didn't know anything about this spiritual evolution.
I don't know about that part. I know that we come to that point, we have that choice. What did we know about either side? That's not explained that I've read.
The fact that I came here telling me that I didn't know anything about it.
Well, you're not alone. There's a lot of us here. Unlimited numbers, actually.
Isn't it logical? If you first taste the cake, you know, the first time you taste the cake, you say, wow, this is amazing taste. And then you go to some different person who makes a different cake, and it's much better. And then your taste develops. Maybe that's what you meant like, by intelligence. You became more intelligent because your taste developed. So next time you see, you know, amateur cake, you won't want to taste it.
Like that. That's okay. That works. That's why we're all here, right? Actually, we're all here because we're experiencing that transcendental taste, that spiritual taste. This is why we're not out at some bar or something like that. We understand, we're experiencing this taste of spiritual life.
We experience the soul, the spark, which is a person.
Yeah.
So that spark,
it's
a
person. It's a person without a body.
Yes. That's what spiritual energy means, huh? Spiritual energy means personal.
What means individual? Personality.
Individual means separate.
With awareness.
With awareness. Sri Panchatattva ki. We all know what it means to be individual person. That's our direct experience.
And the characteristics of the person are senses, right?
Are what? That's one aspect, but there's also personality. There's so many, personality means so many different qualities.
Also senses.
And senses are there too. Yes. Let's say sense perception. Not senses, sense perception. What did you? Forgot?
I lost it.
Okay.
I got it. So we are the sparks, personalities, senses, perception. So do we have any intelligence at all or not? Or this is just subtle bodies?
The spiritual being, even in the material world, is completely pure. We are not contaminated, actually, by the touch of this material energy. But because we identify with the material body and the material mind, therefore we become subject to them. We become covered by that. Okay? So the whole process of self-realization is how to free ourselves from the influence of the body and the mind. This is why, in our earlier classes, we explained why it's important to bring the mind under control. And as Krishna explains there, when one does that, one can then rise above duality. And it's the same thing as explained in these verses today, 22 to 25. One comes to that transcendental position. One is then situated in the Brahman position. One can hear the super soul, one's free from the influence of the material modes of nature.
At that point, I can go back home, right?
At that point, you can begin to develop your spiritual body.
So let's say, if I reach my home again.
Again.
There is no again?
No.
So there must be some beginning of me.
Yes.
But I'm eternal.
Yes.
Yeah,
I explained this in earlier classes, but briefly, Prabhupada explains that the living entities are with Krishna eternally, just as the Son is with the Father before conception. So we're part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna is continually discovering unlimited aspects of himself, which he I guess you could say discharges, huh? They flow out of him as he becomes more and more aware of himself. And that's us. We are all each a very unique aspect of the Supreme Lord. That's our individual nature. And it's unlimited. Krishna is completely unlimited. They keep flowing and flowing and flowing. So that's the beginning in terms of our manifestation. In terms of our actual beginning, no, we're eternal, but we're in a different state within the body of Krishna.
So individuality is by nature, not by personality.
By nature. Yeah. Personality is the personality that we have in this world is based on our experience with the material energy. Yeah.
But what's meant with individuality in this world?
You're separate. Individuality means you're not completely independent, alone, different. You're not connected with somebody else.
Yeah, okay, but like individuality, like individual soul, everyone is like unique, you said. So that uniqueness. How is it expressed?
In the pure state, it would be expressed as some particular feature that nobody else has. So we all have this possibility of serving the Lord in a unique way. We have that aspect of Him, and we use it. That's meant to be used to serve the Lord. So everybody has. This is why Krishna's, he can enjoy unlimited, because he can have this pleasure exchange with all these unlimited number of persons who can serve him in a unique way.
So many times we use this example that Krishna is person and we are the person. By example, that God made man by his, image.
Okay. Let's comment.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah. How does this look like in the spiritual realm?
Krishna has a human form. That's what it means.
And we are sparks.
Yeah.
No.
What do you think? Okay, did you see Men in Black? Did you see this movie? How many saw the second one? So at one point there's one alien, right? He's in the morgue. He's about to die, and the top of his head flips open, and there's a little alien sitting at the controls, driving this big human body. It's something like that. Only we don't have a form. We're just a spiritual energy.
But who is churning milk in the spirit world for the Krishna? Who is churning milk?
Gopis.
Without bodies.
No, they have body in the spiritual world.
What kind of body?
They have cow bodies, tree bodies, so many bodies.
Spiritual bodies makes from spiritual energy, but still, I don't understand
yeah.
how.
Because.
How only spark without senses, or only sense perceptions, and then you get something you like.
You get something you like.
You like be a cow, you like be a peacock,
you come back to original position, right? Is that
but
expression
about the original position?
If there is spark, there is no original position.
No, there is no original position.
Really?
No.
That's new.
No. Again, in the East Upanishad, you can read Mantra 17 in the purport that the Brahman is the source of the living entities. And in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks Krishna, what is Brahman? He says the living entities.
But Brahman also means Bhagavan. It's not the man only, Brahman person.
Brahman means the living entity. When Arjuna says, what is Brahman? Krishna doesn't say, I am Brahman. In this verse, Krishna says, I am the basis. He says, I am the basis of Brahman. This is why Brahman is a difficult subject to understand. It's
exactly.
not easy.
Exactly. Prabhupada so many times mentioned that we were with Krishna, right? And then you turned back, we never turned back because
Prabhupada spoke equivocally on this matter. He spoke in different ways. Therefore, to understand it, the basis of our understanding is Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. If there's some conflict, therefore, then we go to the others, we consult Shastra and Sadhu.
But this part, now, conception, it's not the only way explained that we are not body, that we don't
understand what's required.
Statements and also problems, I must explain different. So
we have to We have to reconcile all these different statements.
True.
Okay. So you can't reconcile the statement that we were Brahman with the statement that we were one time with Krishna. Okay. We were one time with Krishna, like the Son is with the Father before conception, like that.
It's the one perspective which could be explained, but not like that.
From what?
Radhika Raman.
Yeah. He just mentioned this. Different from Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, he said that we shouldn't see it like we are Brahman and then we build up qualities. We should see it for Bhagavan and then he kind of suppresses all the qualities.
All right.
And then Brahman, this is all that is there.
It does develop from Brahman to the Bhagavan level, but.
Well, they're not suppressed.
They're
inherent in the nature of the spiritual energy.
Exactly the body. If you're the body,
not
it's
body.
Suppressed.
No. Anyway, I'm giving my understanding. Shilpapad ki jai.
Praise the Lord. Okay.